Emmanuel is with us. You remember last week as we were studying in our time together last Sunday morning that we learned that God is with us in every situation. It doesn't matter the situation, it doesn't matter the struggles that we find ourselves in or even how strong we might think we are, God is with us. And boy, what a comfort that is. You see, that was really important because when we come to the text here in Matthew, when we learn of the birth of Christ, Matthew, you recall, was a tax collector. He was not held in high regard as far as the Jewish community would go. They looked at him as a traitor. They saw Matthew was viewed by the Jewish people as a traitor because he worked for the Roman government. You see, the Roman government had moved in about 150 years earlier, and they had been making changes. And there was a couple of zealot Jews, one by the name of Matthias, the other one by the name of Judas. Not Judas Iscariot, okay? But there was another man by the name of Judas. That was a very common name. And so Matthias and Judas, they had kind of triggered and started what is known as the Wars of Varsus, or also referred to by Josephus as the Jewish Wars. And there was an emperor by the name, a general actually, who later had sought to become an emperor and never was, it's skeptical or it's not clear that he actually became an emperor. Some say he was becoming, others said he was not. But Varsus was a general who had, shall we say, climbed the corporate ladder in the eyes of the Gentile world. And so he was from Antioch. He had settled in Antioch, originally a Syrian, and he had led in a revolt. A revolt to, shall we say, conquer the Jews, to crush them. And he was somewhat successful. And of course, Rome set him up in a real nice home there in Antioch and had a big spread, history tells us. And he was viewed as kind of the go-to guy. If you needed a politician to get something happening, he would be the guy that would go. Well, when he became established, before Herod came on the scene, he had put a couple of the imperial eagles, that was the symbol for Rome, they put them outside on the city walls of Jerusalem. So when people would come into Jerusalem, the first thing you would see is the Roman imperial eagles. And Matthias and Judas tore them down. And the reason they tore them down is they were told that Herod was sick, he was dying, and would soon be dead. Well, they were lied to. And as a result, the political, and I'm telling you all this because the political tension was incredibly high. When we think of the birth of our Savior, we think of it just, oh, you know, life was just happening and nothing big going on and everything was just peachy dory, you know, and no, it wasn't. It was a time of great taxation. It was time of the Gentiles moving upon Jerusalem, running Jerusalem, trying to change Jerusalem. And the Jews are like, we've never dealt with this before. And this is known as the first of the Jewish wars. And so it's under these conditions that you see ultimately that the decree went out that everyone should be taxed in the known world. Rome was trying to raise their income because of the wars and the catastrophes and the struggles. And of course, if they're going to control people, they want to try to hit them in the pocketbook. Because, you know, if you really give, you know, we can put people, we can put things in the bulletin, we can put it on the website, and you'll still have people say, oh, I didn't know anything about it. And so the Romans were doing the same thing. They're saying, all right, we're just going to put a decree out here on everybody, and everybody will owe a tax. You're all to return to your birthplaces and pay your tax. And you have this day. I don't think it was April 15th. Okay? But they had a deadline that they had to have their taxes paid. Now, it's under these conditions that we see Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem. It's not peaceful conditions. There's hostility. There is a lot of anger. The Jews don't like the Romans in their city. It's a struggle. Having been to Israel earlier this year, one of the things that I noticed that annoyed me was they called it the clarion cry. You know, I would expect a clarion cry in a Muslim country. I wouldn't expect that in Jerusalem. But you heard it. And it come out all across the town. And you would watch, and the Jewish people just had their heads down and just kept moving, going about their business. And I told Lisa, I said, a little different than how we do things back home, isn't it? And she said, yes. Now, when you look at that, you understand there was just a struggle that was really taking place, because when the angels told the shepherds in the field, Emmanuel, God is with us, that was a very important message. Because God wanted mankind to understand there are going to be some real struggles in this life. There's going to be situations when you think all hope is lost and you're not sure what the solution is. God wanted humanity to understand that I'm with you. Amen. And so this morning, as we did last week, we considered God with us in every situation that we find ourselves in. Today, we want to continue with that thought of God being with us and begin in verse 18 and understand that God is with us not only in every situation, but God is with us in every circumstance of life. If you have found Matthew chapter 1, would you stand out of reverence for the Word of God, the reading of God's Word? And we'll read Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. If you'll follow along with me, please, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, the history that I've just summarized for you. Very hostile, very rebellious, great tensions. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why are we going to name him Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And to the reading of God's word we say, thank you, may be seated. As we all know, life has circumstances. Circumstances that at times can really spiral out of control, just like they were in Mary and Joseph's life, the day in which they were living. In fact, history tells us that when Varus was leading his revolt or his army in to crush the Jews, he was approximately, Josephus says, about 4 miles from where Mary and Joseph resided at that time there in Nazareth. before they had gone to Bethlehem. So it's very close. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of tension. You can imagine as we do as men and women, we think about the things coming up and the things on the to-do list and the things that have to be completed before Christmas and the things that have to be done before the end of the year. And we say, well, I've got this to do and that to do. And in the midst of all that going on, Joseph finds out Mary's pregnant. Wow. And here's the thing that really is troubling. It's not his. It's not his. Mary's pregnant. She's with child. Can you imagine how that conversation must have gone? Hey, Joseph. Maybe she called him Joe. I've got something to tell you. Well, Mary, what is it? I want you, Joe, are you listening to me? Yeah, Mary. Man, what am I going to do with the livestock? What if them Romans break into my carpenter shop? What if they steal everything? What if they burn my business down whenever we go to Bethlehem? Joseph's got a lot of things on his mind. Joe, are you listening? Yes, I'm listening, dear. What, honey, what is it? I'm sorry. I'm pregnant. What are you going to say in those situations? What are you going to say when you already have your plate full? When you're already overwhelmed, the stress level is in the red zone. And now the love of your life, you know she's God's choice for you. And she says, I'm with child. Well, Joseph, the Bible tells us that Joseph was a just man. The Bible says that in verse 19. He was a just man. Do you understand what a just man means? Being a just man means he lived his life as a man according to the principles of God's Word. He did things not as he thought as a man should do. He lived his life as he understood what God said a man should do. He lived his life principled from the teachings of God's Word. Joseph didn't guess about what God may or may not have said. Joseph knew. Joseph prayed, no doubt, at least 3 times a day. No doubt, read his Bible every day. Joseph had a serious walk with God, and now the woman of his dream says, I'm pregnant. And notice the Bible says, it was before they came together, she was found with child. The coming together is that beautiful relationship between a husband and wife. And young people, don't buy into the nonsense the world tells you that sex before marriage is okay. It's not. Amen. It will not only screw your head up, it'll screw your heart up as well. Right. And if you want to know how much it can screw up a person's life, there's adults that are present could tell you what sex before marriage, how it fouls up your life. Because there are some that could, if they chose, could tell you what it does.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Don't buy the world's philosophy. And so the Bible tells us that Joseph, before they had come together, they haven't consummated anything. Betrothal in the Hebrew culture is much different. We often say it's like an engagement, but it's actually greater than an engagement. Because in the Hebrew betrothal, the Bible tells us that Joseph is referred to as the husband of Mary. Mary is referred to as Joseph's wife. You see, in the betrothal period, they have done everything but had the ceremony, the exchanging of the vows, and the consummation of the marriage. That's the only thing that hasn't taken place. You see, it's only in Hebrew culture, it's only in the betrothal period that the bill of divorcement is actually allowed. Now, in the Western culture, we don't understand that. So we did something different. You see, in the betrothal period, there's been no consummation, and that's very important because the Hebrews understand a blood covenant. In the relationship, the consummation of marriage, there is a blood covenant that is made between that husband and that wife. And that is forever bonding in the eyes of God. In the Western culture, if she burns the biscuits and she doesn't do it like mama, divorce her and find someone that does. Because blood covenants don't mean anything to us. We'll divorce for anything and everything. And our culture proves it. We don't understand blood covenant. We say, till death we do part, but we mean, until you kill the idea I have for you. But we're actually meaning physical death. And so Joseph, he's a just man, and he understands all this. He gets it. But aren't you thankful for the forgiveness of God? Whether we lived in the East or whether we live in the West, the forgiveness of God is wonderful. Amen. The Bible tells us then that Joseph here, the Bible says in verse 18, that she's found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he's not willing to make her a public example. You see, according to the law, because she's with child, they have not consummated the marriage. There has been no blood covenant. By the law of Moses, he has the right to call her hand on this, and ultimately, she could be put to death. And the elders of the city would take stones, take her and put her in a valley, and they would all throw stones at her until she fell down dead. And Joseph wouldn't have done anything wrong. And the Bible says Joseph, he was not willing to make her a public example. He didn't want that to happen to Mary. He loved her. And notice the Bible says he was minded to put her away privately. He had determined he was going to give her a bill of divorce quietly. He would put her off in another small village, maybe send her to live over with her cousin Elizabeth. But he would just do it kind of quietly. And Joseph was pretty much set. That's what I'm going to do. And so the Bible tells us then that, verse 20, while he thought on these things, this is what I'm going to do. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream that night, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not unto thee to take unto thee Mary. Notice thy wife. She's not your engaged spouse. She is your spouse. And so God tells Joseph, that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Now Joseph has to decide whether or not he believes God. And so we find Joseph is faced with, again, understand all the things going on in their world. And now he learns of this. This, I would submit to you, was much heavier than everything else he was dealing with. And so Joseph weighs these things in his mind. He's a just man. He knows God. He has a relationship with God. He speaks with God daily. And he said, well, Lord, I just think this is what I'm going to do. And he goes to bed. And God says, Joseph, I want to talk to you about something. You're not making the right choice. You're not making the right decision. Ultimately, it's your decision, but I want you to know that that child that Mary's carrying, that's of the Holy Ghost. That's your Messiah. Well, what would be Joseph's response? Well, again, we've talked about Joseph's discovery. And the first thing I want you to consider in those circumstances that Joseph faced, and aren't you glad God is with us in the circumstances we face? Joseph had this moment of discovery. And so when you and I have those moments of discovery in our lives, can you look at your situation and when you have those circumstances in your life, can you say that you, like Joseph, have spent time with God and you've consulted with God and you've read His Word and you've prayed and you've been practicing the principles, not just because you're in the predicament, it's really a way of life. The Bible says that Joseph had this expectation. You know, when it comes to Christmas, we all have expectations. Do you know what you're getting for Christmas? You haven't unwrapped the paper, have you? And then taped it back, hoping no one would know? Oh, that's not nice. That takes the fun out of it. We all have expectations. We want everything perfect, don't we? We want the kids on their best behavior. We want the choirs in church to hit every note. We want everyone that comes into the home to enjoy themselves. We want the hot chocolate at the right temperature, the apple cider at the right temperature. We want the tree working and all the lights on it. We just want to have a season of peace, harmony, and joy. We have those expectations. But then the cat climbs the tree, knocks the tree over, breaks the ornaments, the lights fall off the tree. You go and put that in the oven and you forgot and the oven's too hot and it burnt what you were going to use for Christmas dinner. Did you see the guy on Facebook that took the turkey at Thanksgiving and threw it out the back door? And his wife screamed, no! You see, Joseph had faced some immediate circumstances that were overwhelming. And you and I could be facing circumstances in our lives, and you may find yourself even here today and be facing circumstances. You say, preacher, you have no idea what I'm battling right now. You're right, I don't. But can I remind you that God does? Amen. And He has a message for you. He is with us in every circumstance of our life. Amen. We know how these disruptions can interrupt our lives, but aren't you thankful that we have a God who knows how to handle us in those interruptions? We see then, as we looked at Joseph's discovery, We see the direction that Joseph is going to take, as I've mentioned already in verse 19, that Joseph in his direction is determined that he's going to face the fact that Mary has been unfaithful to him. I'm sure that presented quite a conversation, don't you? Perhaps some tears because Mary is speaking the truth. Joe, I haven't been unfaithful to you. Mary, if you weren't unfaithful, you wouldn't be pregnant. But I didn't do anything. Well, Mary, you didn't get pregnant by drinking water. You can just imagine how this conversation was going. And Joseph said, I need to be alone. And Mary says, no, Joe, let me explain. No, I've heard all I need to hear. I'm going to bed. And the Lord says, all right, now it's time for me and you to have a conversation. God understood Joseph's situation. God understood the circumstances that faced Joseph. But down deep, as much as Joseph loved Mary, he just knew right was right and wrong was wrong. And as far as he was concerned, Mary's just done wrong. And no one would fault him. So we see in verses 20 through 23 that Joseph has a dream. And the Bible says again, while he thought on these things. You know, there's not many times that I would ever say procrastination is a good thing. But here was a procrastination that God worked through in Joseph's life while Joseph thought on these things. He was going to sleep on it. And that was a good thing. Because there's when God had the conversation with Joseph and he told him what has happened with Mary is of the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful that God sometimes will work in my life and your life and the circumstances that we find ourselves in and give us those dream moments. Amen. Where He causes us just to stop and consider. You see, in the Hebrew, the word stop and consider, those words can be summed up in one word in the Hebrew. It's called Selah. When you read through the Psalms, you'll find every once in a while the psalmist will slip in the word Selah. S-E-L-A-H. And it simply means to pause and to consider. Think about what you've just been told. And God says, Joseph, the child she's carrying is of the Holy Ghost. Well, if that's supernatural, then that means that would be the Messiah. Joseph understood. He wouldn't have done that had he not stopped and considered. There's something to be said about not being quick to respond. So oftentimes when our circumstances come in our lives, we're quick to make a decision and we're rash with our mouth. And we'll say something quickly and fast and just let it fly and then we've already said too much and we've already done too much. And that creates a whole new set of circumstances that has to be dealt with now also. And so in this dream, God tells Joseph to behold. That word behold is simply, it means pay special attention to this. Pay special attention to this. As a result, verse 21, God's telling him, he said, she's going to give birth. She shall bring forth a son. A son? Yes, a son, Joseph. Okay. I remember the prophet Isaiah said something about a son. Tell me more. As he's listening in this dream. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Hebrew, that's Joshua. That means Jehovah saves. And he shall save his people. That is the Messiah. That is the Messiah. And then God says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet. That is Isaiah 7 and 9. Those are prophecies Isaiah gave 700 years before Christ is going to be born. They were given 700 years earlier. And now that prophecy is fulfilled. You know, that's really what Christmas is all about. You see, regardless of those circumstances that you and I find ourselves in, those circumstances where we have a discovery and then we have, as the discovery arises and we learn of it, we have decisions to make. We then look and say, what should I do? And God has those moments of speaking to us to cause us to stop and consider and think about. And we dream and say, Lord, you're doing something here. Help me to learn it. Help me to learn from it. Because you see, Christmas is all about, and it's always been about, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You see, Jesus has come. Jesus will save. And now Jesus is with us. We have His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, residing right in us if we know Him as our Savior and Lord. God has accomplished what He said He would do. Yet again, He's been true to His Word. Well, what does Joseph do? Well, look at verse 24. The Bible tells us then that after God had revealed to Joseph, and God knew he had Joseph's attention in this dream, that a Joseph, the Bible says, being raised from sleep, notice the next little word there, did. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. That word bidden is just the old English word that simply means invited him. He simply said, Joseph, you can make your own decision, but here's all the facts that you definitely need to know and consider. Now the choice is yours. Before you came to bed and went to sleep, you had already purposed in your heart that you were going to give her a bill of divorcement and put her away privately. That was already in your mind. But I presented the evidence to you and the circumstances that you found to be overwhelming. I've shown you the truth. Amen. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? And notice the Bible says that Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him. And what was that? He took Mary, his wife. He didn't send her back to Mama's house. Again, they have not consummated the marriage, and they won't till after Jesus is born. And Joseph has no issue from this on, this point on. The Bible tells us that Joseph had a determination. He had a determination and he got up and responded based on the truth that God had shown him. He was simply obedient to God. You know, the one thing that God asks of all of us is that we simply be obedient to Him. The old hymn goes like this: trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Just simply to trust and obey. Trust what God's telling you. For you and I today, the circumstances that we face in our lives, the challenges, oh preacher, I wish I could tell you about my circumstances. It's not necessary. But what you do need to be reminded of, and I need to be reminded of from time to time, is that God is with us regardless of the struggles, regardless of the situations, regardless of how strong we feel. God is with us in every circumstance. Every circumstance that we discover, every circumstance that we discover, and then we determine and say, I've got a decision to make, and we determine this is what I'm going to do, and we say, well, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to sleep on it. But so many times in our lives, perhaps we don't hear what God's telling us. Sometimes we allow the circumstances to control us rather than to trust and obey the Lord. This morning, God speaks. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us. The Holy Spirit uses His Word to speak to our hearts, to give us the confidence that we are making the right choice or we're following the right path. If we'll listen to Him, we can hear His voice. No matter the circumstances, you say, preacher, you just don't know the circumstances that I'm facing. You just don't know everything involved. Nor do I need to know. What you do need to know is this, my friend. God is with us regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. At other times, they're just simply God's plan of working in our lives in ways we never imagined. You say, but what about the circumstance? You have a decision like Joseph did of trusting and obeying or not. Well, I have a problem with trust. Oh, I know, you've done like I've done. You've put your trust in people and they've failed you. Well, that's just part of sinful humanity. That's what mankind does. We fail because we are sinners. But when you put your trust in God, He never fails. You can believe what He tells you always. Now, that doesn't mean He's going to tell you what you want to hear or like to hear. He'll only tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth can be pretty hard to swallow. But He'll always speak truth to you. He's with us always. And He then in turn asks us, will you choose to obey? You have the right to choose not to. But I hope you'll respond to the truth and be obedient. That's God's desire. That's God's desire. There was a missionary over off the Hawaiian Islands many years ago. His name was Joseph Damien. Joseph Damien went to back in the 19th century, and I think it's pronounced Molokai. Can you help me out, Jeremy?
Molokai.
Oh, I wasn't off too bad. He went to Molokai, and there that was known to be a leper colony, and he had ministered to them for many, many years. And one morning, Joseph got up to speak. And as he would always begin his morning sermon, he would say, normally he would say, "My fellow believers." But on that one morning, he got up and he said, "My fellow lepers." Because he found out that he himself had become a leper, having cared for the lepers for so long. And you realize that you and I have a Savior who doesn't come up to us and just say, "My fellow believers." He comes to us and says, "My fellow sinners, I became sin for you, and I knew no sin. But I became a sinner so that you could be forgiven." He took our sin and bore it on a cross, died in our place. Oh, but I'm so happy that's not the end of the story. Yes, Jesus did die for your sins, but he also rose again the third day. And today he sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes on behalf of me and you. And whoever doesn't know him as Lord and Savior, if they'll repent of their sin and agree with God, what God and them already know, that they're a sinner, and ask him to forgive them, he's more than willing to forgive. Jesus came into our world. He's in our world now. And as he told us, as he prepared to ascend back to the Father, he said, "Lo, I am with you always." It's interesting how Matthew tied that together, because he begins in Matthew chapter 1 reminding us of Emmanuel, that God is with us. And then Matthew concludes his gospel in Matthew 28 by telling us the God who is with us always, even to the end of the world, meaning the end of this age. Matthew said, "You know, I needed to be reminded of that." And Matthew in 28 chapters shows Jesus as being the King of all kings. He wanted his Jewish family, his Jewish people, his Jewish nation to understand Jesus is indeed the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. God is with us. This morning, I want to remind you, God is with us in every situation. God is with us in every circumstance. And like Joseph, there'll be discoveries in your life and you won't know how to respond or what to do. You may be prone to act rashly. But Joseph paused, not realizing, not knowing that God was going to speak to him, but he paused. And God said, "Joseph, what you have is true. The facts that you know to be true are true. But there's one thing you don't know. Mary has not done anything wrong. She's not sinned. This law does not apply to her." So, Joseph, before you make your final decision, here's the truth. And what did Joseph do when he heard the truth? He trusted it and he obeyed. He responded because he understood God was with him in every circumstance. And just like Joseph had a determination, so you and I have a determination. If we believe what we have heard, that God really is with us in every situation, in every struggle, and every time that we're strong, and the strength we have is not from us, but it's from the Lord. If we really understand that, if we really believe that, then regardless of the circumstances that face us, that we discover that we're going to determine and make a decision and say, "You know what? I'm going to trust Him and not what I think or feel." And that's not how we operate in this culture. We do a lot of things. We make a lot of decisions based on what we think and how we feel. not always considering the truth. You can't cancel truth. Truth is forever true. So you and I this morning, has God spoken to your heart about something in your life? Is there a circumstance you say, I just don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to handle this. Or this is coming up and I don't know what the solution is. Understand, we have God with us in every circumstance. Will we be as Joseph and trust and obey? I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to stand with me. This morning, as we think upon the decision now before us, Joseph made his decision based on the truth that he had known. And the truth for you and I today is God is with us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can. And if you would come as we sing a verse of invitation, we'd be happy to take the Bible and take you aside and show you how you can have a personal relationship with the God who made us all. Maybe you're here today and you say, Preacher, I know I'm a Christian, but I also know there's been circumstances in my life that are not, they didn't meet all my expectations. They didn't go quite like I planned. Understand that God is with us in every circumstance. As we sing on a verse, sing a verse of invitation, if God has spoken to your heart, will you then now trust and obey Him and follow His instruction as He speaks to your heart as we sing on this first verse?